purpose, I hope.
Man, y'all are spread out. Wow.
Yeah, but that makes for a neck. Okay. Hallelujah. You'll see. Thanks, Joe. So the faith community is not immune to the fads of the world at large. At times, the health food mindset finds a comfortable place at the table of a teacher or a ministry. Oftentimes, it is focused on fear of some ingredients or some processes. What's surprising to me is not that proper eating is important. What is surprising is that rarely does it go beyond the latest social trends. How often do these teachers reach back into the Tanakh for their inspirations? If they do, it is for health reasons and not because they read the words of the living Elohim as life-giving. I believe that the time has come or has come, is coming or has come, to change what and how we consume food. It may be difficult for those who live in the city, however, but for those who have property, should be preparing to cultivate a biblical food source. Remember, there are not appliances. They were not appliances, i.e. refrigerators or microwaves in biblical times. So we have to start coming to a biblical mindset on how we not only obtain our food, but how we grow it, how we store it, because in the times that are upon us, and I think that the body here agrees that what's coming is going to come pretty quick, okay? So all the things have been set into place. All you hear out there on the internet is banter, you know, this, that, and other thing. It's coming, period. So if we could be in a biblical mindset with our food, will tend to survive longer to be more of service to our God and our families and our friends, loved ones. Okay? So, I know there's some country folk in here, but who was raised in the city? Okay? Who was raised on canned goods? Most of us. It's really not good. Because if you look at the ingredients on our canned goods nowadays, it's just not good. Even health food stores. Our eating should not be motivated by desire or fear. It should be an act of worship of the Creator. What? Yeah. He created it. Whenever you're a fad dieter or a fast food eater or a careful eater, one thing is true. If you do not eat for the Creator, you're eating for yourself. The Bible teaches that thankful and joyful eating is an act of worship. It is worship of the Creator. It is taking the daily, the common, and bringing holiness to it. If it isn't food, Leviticus 11, don't eat it. If it is food, eat it with thanksgiving, thus making it a worship experience of the Almighty. Be careful to investigate what you're eating and read the labels. Okay? A lot's changed since, I'd say when I was a kid, but there's people in here that are older than me. Lots changed in the last 20 years. Don't say that, Joe. You're just a young spring chicken, man. There you go. That'll be $10. A lot has changed in the last 20 years of how our food is farmed, cultivated, manufactured, packaged, delivered, and served. Drastic changes. More chemicals have been sprayed on, injected, hormones, everything else has been put on our food chain in the last 20 years than ever before. If you have microwave food, get rid of it. Because unless it says no preservatives and you truly trust Stouffer's, because that's what their box says, no preservatives. Try to bake it, because the microwave zaps the nutrients out of your food. Did you know that? There's a lot of smart people in here. So, it's too bad that many who love to quote 1 Corinthians 3:16, they don't relate it to Leviticus 11. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. So if you're walking around as the temple, shouldn't you put holy things in you? Yeah. There's a lot of people in this room. Well, I won't say a lot because I don't know a lot of your details of how you eat and drink, but there's a few of us in here who drink soda. Pop. Pop from the northern guys. It's pop. Stop it. If you're addicted to it, we've got some 2x4s in the back. We'll take care of that addiction really quick. Drink water. And don't drink city water, because it has fluoride in it, and chlorine, and ammonia, and whatever else they can stick in the pipes. Okay? Drink pure spring bottled water, or if you get your own water, get a murky? Berkey. I was thinking of steam. Distillation. Get you a little distiller. Water distiller. Okay? I know there's some country folk in here that know all about that other distillery action. But just be careful. Won't say any names.
Yeah.
Or what part of part of Florida. Leviticus 11:44-47. I am Jehovah, your Elohim. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am Jehovah, who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. And you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the Torah of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves in the waters and on every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. So don't you think it's odd that some people that warn us about eating chicken with hormones don't bother to warn us to eat things according to the Creator's instructions? You ever wonder why? Because they don't read the Torah. They're not Torah observant. Or they're eating for themselves and not the Creator. So let's have a little review on what the Bible says about food. So food and drink are everywhere in the Bible. Among the best known scenes, such as Yeshua's Passover in Mark 14:17-25, Matthew 26:20-29, Luke 22:14-23, John 13:1-14, 13:31. The feeding of 5,000, Mark 6:30-48, and 8:1-10. The feast for the lost son in Luke 15:11-32, and the wine miracle in Cana, John chapter 2:1-12, from the New Covenant, and the first Pesach meal in Egypt, Exodus 12:1-13 and 12:16. Abraham sacrificed of Isaac, for whom a wild goat was substitute. Genesis 22, 1 through 19. The manna in the desert. Exodus 16, 31 through 35. And the reoccurring mention of the land flowing with milk and honey from the Tanakh. The function of food in the Bible is twofold. First, it offers information on what was produced and consumed in the area during the biblical times, including how food was prepared and its meaning. Second, it conveys messages to the reader. And by the way, Moses instructed the Jewish people about the details of the first Passover offering. On the 10th of this month, let each one take a lamb for it, each parental home, a lamb for each household, and you shall keep it for inspection until the 14th day of this month. And the entire congregation of the community of Israel shall slaughter it in the afternoon. So why was this lengthy inspection required? Make sure it's beautiful? Pure. Well, you don't need 4 days for that. What else? Anybody got any answers? This one will rock your boat. The ancient Egyptians worshipped lambs. Taking a lamb, the Egyptians' deity, into their homes for 4 days with the intention of slaughtering it and eating it was an act that was sure to be noticed by the Egyptians. It was extremely likely that they would be infuriated by this disrespect of their god. This act of courage, standing up for their beliefs, and following God's command in the face of possible danger was a merit for the Jews, one that made them worthy of being redeemed. Let's go off a little trail here. Who in this room would stand for their beliefs? I remember a story that was really not, it could have been real. I've heard it from several different sources, that in a synagogue they were having a service during the Nazi times, and Nazi guard walked in with a machine gun and asked who was Jewish, and they all raised their hand, every one of them. And when he saw that, he cried. He really cried, put his gun down, and said, "I really just wanted to be here with people who stood for their beliefs." Are you willing to do that? I mean, just to think of it, he could have killed them all. But that wasn't really his intention. His intention was to find true believers. Scientific interest in food found in the Bible always has focused on it, among other things, sacrifice and abominations. The biblical sacrificial animal is rarely burnt entirely, as indicated in the descriptions of some specific sacrifices in Numbers 28 and 29, or Abraham's sacrifice. The majority of a sacrifice is consumed either by those who offer the sacrifice or by the priest, 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Each food offering, the meat, is accompanied by a grain offering, flour and olive oil, and a drink offering, preferably wine, but in some cases, a form of intoxicating strong drink is acceptable. My apologies for this noise. Numbers 28 and 29. Sacrifices usually offered at feast distribute precious animal protein evenly among the population and over time. The feast occurs each new moon, and others follow in the middle of at least every second month. The nature of the sacrifice follows the rules of purity described in Leviticus. No restrictions apply to the consummation of plants, but elaborate rules govern animal food. Animals are divided into three groups: animals on the land, creatures in the water, and birds. Of those, only a small sample are considered clean. You may eat any animal which has parted foot or a cloven hoof, and choose the cud. All those that have fins and scales, and birds with two legs who fly and do not eat carcasses. Leviticus 11. I've only seen chickens fly about 4 feet, but nonetheless, they fly. The purity rules conform with the animals well adapted in the local climate and easily domesticated. Furthermore, the food taboos keep the Israelites distinct from other peoples of the region, supporting their group identity. What we do separates us from the rest. That's a good thing, yes? Sometimes it gets uncomfortable, but again, are we ready to stand up for him? You know, the other day we were in Miami having a wonderful lunch, and I started eating this fried chicken sandwich. Got through half of the first half and go, uh-oh. Took the bread off. It's so easy to forget when you're on the road and working and, you know, things are happening. So I ate the rest of the chicken with my fingers. It was finger licking good. When Christianity starts to convert other peoples, the strict food rules become an obstacle and therefore are removed, and they use Acts chapter 10, as it was revealed to Peter that nothing is unclean, to prove it. Of course, we here know better than to interpret what it says to mean unclean food. What it means is God will take you as you are, Jew and Gentile, just as you are. Meat is always in the foreground of biblical narratives on food, and it is highly esteemed center of many festival meals, religious or secular. During their wanderings in the wilderness, the Israelites yearned for the flesh pots of Egypt. Exodus 16:2. In 1 Samuel 2, 12 through 17, the priest demanded a piece of good roast for the sacrifice instead of being content with whatever their forks catch from the cauldron. It is a sign of honor to be fed a piece of meat by the host. 1 Samuel 9:23. And meat is essential to a covenant. Nevertheless, the staples are cereals, which are barley, wheat, emmer, spelt, and millet, and sorghum. Barley, the most important, is mainly consumed as grits. Southern. Yeah. You serve grits to a northerner and they're going, what's that? Yeah. Wheat is valued higher and is baked into bread. The highly valued fruits include olives for oil, which is easy to store, and dates, which provide energy. Vegetables. Now here's where I cross the line. Leeks, oryx, onion I could deal with, pulses, which is a fava bean, pea, lentil, and chickpea, fruits, apple, fig, pomegranate, melon, mulberry, grapes, and the herbs and spices, cassia, cinnamon, coriander, cumin, dill, garlic, ginger, laurel, mint, mustard, saffron, and turmeric are abundant. Turmeric. What are they finding in science today what turmeric does? That's pretty good, isn't it? Black pepper, huh? Oh, jacks it up. Wow, we have our own food chemist right here. Jacks it up. That would make me run in circles. Where's the water? Oh, we had something to eat one day, and yeah, I'll try that. I almost turned red. Was that at work? That what? Was that at the office? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Carly just reeled me right in. Yeah. Among the, I don't know if that was punishment or a joke. We'll just leave it at that. Among the most prominent situations for consuming specific foods are feasts, covenant meals, carouses, another word for meetings, and fast. The majority of religious feasts consist of the sacrifice of animals, usually birds, sheep, goats, or cattle, depending on the means of the family, and the communal meal of the family. Important religious feasts are Pesach, Masot, Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we're ending today at sundown, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hanukkah, and Purim. Hanukkah. Man, I love them cookies. Life cycle festivals mentioned in the Bible include weddings, birthdays, and burials. For the wedding of Jacob and Leah, Laban gathered all the men of the place together and gave a feast. Genesis 29:22. Check me out. Don't believe me. Check the scriptures. When Samson marries, the party lasts 7 days.
Woo-hoo.
Judges 14:12. I'd like to go to one of them parties. Mm-hmm. And get paid. Because, you know, most people work. They couldn't take off for 7 days to... Well, I'll have to negotiate. Raquel tells his wife, Edna, to bake a great batch of bread, and was 2 oxen and 4 rams slaughtered for the 2 weeks of celebrating the marriage of Tobias and Sarah. You'll find that not here in any of your Bibles. Tobit, chapter 8, verse 20. You'll find that chapter, that book in the Catholic Bible. Yeshua compares heaven to the wedding feast of King's son, Matthew 22:1. The wedding party at Cana in Galilee runs short of wine, and Yeshua turns water to wine. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'd just like to have some of that wine. Some of that new wine. Some freshly created wine. Continue. Get my mind off that wine. The wedding party at Cana in Galilee runs short of wine, and Yeshua... The only birthday party mentioned in the Bible, see how I got off track on wine? The only birthday party mentioned in the Bible is the king is Egypt's Pharaoh's, which turns out to be the day of destiny for the chief baker and the chief butler, when one is hanged and the other one is restored to his service. Genesis chapter 40, verse 20. The bread to console and the cup of consolation are the frugal nutrients for mourners who often refuse to eat and drink for a short time after the death of a loved one, or fast for a longer period to display their mourning. Yeshua compares heaven to the wedding feast of the king's son. The covenant meal is a pact between people, or between the Father and his followers, is a recurring theme. This meal makes the oath binding forever by threatening the partner's bodies with a curse. In case of perjury, the curse may seep into his body like water and into his bones like oil. Psalms 109:18. The father's covenants with Abraham and Moses were sealed by the ritual slaughtering of several animals. Genesis 15 and Exodus 24. When Jacob leaves Laban's house, they swear an oath regarding respectful territories and have a feast with their kinspeople. Genesis 31, 43 through 54. Joseph is sold to the passing tradesmen while his brothers sat down to eat some food. Genesis 37, 25. Sharing the provisions with the inhabitants of Gibeon, Joshua settles a pact with the Gibeonites in Joshua 9, 14 through 15. Those who share a meal are obligees, but they frequently betray each other. Psalms 41, verse 9, Proverbs 23, verse 7, Mark chapter 14, verse 18. The new covenant is made at Yeshua's Passover. Again, Matthew 26, 17 through 30, Mark 14, 12 through 26, Luke 22, 7 through 39, and John 13, 1 through 30. Now, in reference to having a short service and being out of here, I only have one more sets of five pages to go. No. Can you cue up the last video? As we prepare for Shavuot, let us ask for an infilling of His Holy Spirit. Okay? Because that's what it is. So please stand with me.